Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. We have a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You get two bonus episodes a week. And usually we're coming to you live Sunday at 7:15 on shrobhomevideo.com. We got the week off, so this is a good old fashioned back to basics record.
Back to Zoom.
Now that everyone's super sick of Zoom.
Yep.
We're back on it. Let's see, what else? That's pretty much it. I'm sick of asking for 5-star reviews. I'm not gonna do that anymore.
Yeah, I do think we are going to add another tier, right? Might as well just add one. What was it?
We got to add the Mike Bridenstine tier. That's just what, like $50. Brido was like, you just got to add a crazy tier. And so, if anyone wants to throw their money away, that will be available. I tried to do it from my phone the other night, but I couldn't. So I got to remember to do it. on the website. But without further ado, let's welcome aboard the
I'm sorry, I forget you're looking at me. I was like, oh yeah, well, part of that big tier was we would then throw ads out for you if you want to promote something, right? He's like,
oh yeah, if you have, yeah, like if you have any kind of any plug at all, we would do like an ad for you. And it'll be fun. You could send us copy, or we'll just make it up. All right, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend, filmmaker Clayton Root. Hey, Clayton.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Love your guys' show.
Being back, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry we couldn't get you in the studio.
Yeah, we'll have you back again soon. This has all kind of happened last minute.
Yeah, it's quite all right. We're here. We're on Zoom. And then as much as people hate Zoom, this commute was very easy, you guys.
Yeah. No, it's just kind of like, why am I going to drive over there and drink 6 beers when there's no reason to?
Yeah.
So we appreciate you getting on here.
Wow.
You were on the show like years ago, right? Like how long ago was that?
Before pandemic.
Yeah. It was before the pandemic. I want to say a couple of years ago. In fact, as I recall, I was the only person, the only guest that you had that did not believe in aliens.
Oh, interesting. Has that changed? Do you want to do the WOW scale again?
Yeah, let's do the WOW scale. Yeah, sure.
Okay, the WOW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. If you're a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Don't worry about that. Just answer the questions. I'll tabulate your score. Are you ready to be weighed on the WOW scale?
Yeah.
WOW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I do not believe in aliens.
Okay, nothing has changed. Well, I got to ask you, though, because a lot of stuff has come out. You know, the what are they called? The UAPs? I can never remember what they're calling them now.
Yeah, that's right.
The UAP.
Unidentified aerial phenomenon, the Tic Tacs.
Yeah, all the Tic Tacs and stuff. So what are your thoughts on that stuff?
Absolutely. Here's the deal. Even the pastor of the church I go to referenced that. And I think that's where me and like the pastor part ways is like, he entertained the idea like, oh yeah, this could be aliens. And for me, I'm like, nope. Cause like, I don't know, I guess there was like a Joe Rogan, sort of segment with Neil deGrasse. How do you say his name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. Okay. Neil deGrasse Tyson. He, both of them are like, dude, if it's so real and obvious, where are these aliens? Like, this is the best you have. And it was like that black globuloid, dot
on the radar screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that. So I've seen that. I've heard of like the gigantic shard out in space or whatever around Pluto or something of that nature. That's the whenever that news sort of broke, I remember that's when that's what my pastor cited as like, hey, what, you know, what if it is aliens? And then
Una Mona, whatever. It's that one thing that came from outside of our solar system and it started accelerating towards the sun. And it's the only thing we've ever identified as being outside of our solar system that came into it. But go on.
But to the point of like, I guess what was being, or this is hearsay now, because I didn't even watch this Rogan Neil deGrasse Tyson segment, but I get hyperbole from someone else. He said, like, if it's so real, like, why can't I just go up and like touch an alien? Like, where's that stuff? But I mean, radio, to be fair, you know, to the other side is, or, you know, to people, to plenty of guests on your show that believe very differently than me.
Yeah.
You know, radio frequencies, you can't see them, but we know that they're real. Like, I believe in radio frequencies. You know, so it's like,
yeah, yeah.
It's I don't know. I guess with more, I guess I would just need more compelling evidence.
Yeah, and it's easy to come up with excuses for everything, you know, because like one excuse that I always say is like, well, if the universe is filled with life, I don't think you want to be seen. I don't believe in good or evil, and I just think that too many things would want whatever you have or whatever,
like
just resource battle. What, but you know, that's a, whatever.
That was very philosophical. That was great.
All right. Question number two, what are your thoughts on ghosts?
Ghosts. So, okay. Now I have put a little bit of thought into this, cause I actually did, for Channel 101, I did an episode on Crazy Okay on ghosts. In fact, it was roughly highly inspired by your guys' show here, where it's like a believer and an unbeliever, and like X-Files-ish, you know what I mean? In fact,
yeah.
Because roughly it's like you guys are X-Files. But yeah, what I was going to do with this show that's a little bit different than your show is it's the idea that and I'll get to ghosts. Is it okay if I ramble here?
Sure.
Okay. So what I was going to do is, because everybody, it's a pivot. Everybody thinks different. Like you believe irrational things, even though in this show, Wade, you are the rational person. And then also, Willie, you're the believer that, you know, will believe in everything, but there are things that you don't believe in. You know what I mean? So it's like, what I was trying to do with the show is like have it be every episode there was a different topic where one person was the believer and then one's the non-believer, and then next show different topic, and then the roles would switch. And it was, the first episode was ghosts, and then the person on trial would be the believer. The believer's always on trial, so it's like different.
Yeah.
So there's a person that did believe in ghosts and a person that doesn't believe in ghosts. So ghosts, I believe, because here's the deal. I have a Christian friend who straight up went to like Hollywood Forever Cemetery and pulled out those EVPs.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what the acronym means, but it can apparently pick up the frequencies of whatever the supernatural realm is. And he, so I will say this was very interesting. He went to a grave. Oh fuck. And when he pulled out his EVP, one of the graves knew what his name meant. That's right. This gentleman's name was Brendan. And I guess Brendan translates into Prince. And so the EVP came through and it said Prince, and he's like, yes, my name is Prince, like as he's like looking at his EVP talking to the graves. And then there was another grave that he went to where a name that came up was, it was in context of the grave that he was at, it was the lover of that person. So it's like the mathematical chance of like that being, you know, like, what are the chances that I'm going to take an EVP app on my... Because at first I was like, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing? Can I cuss on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what the fuck are you doing pulling out your phone and like pulling out EVP, it can say whatever the fuck it wants. You know what I mean? What am I going to pull up the crystal ball app and shake it and it says shit about my future? Like, fuck you, dude. Like, you're an idiot. But I'm citing those two examples because I'm like, wait a minute. The mathematical probability that he walks up to these graves and then that information comes out. I was like, ooh, okay, this is interesting. I was like, oh, okay. But here's the thing. Because then we got into a discussion, because I'm a believer, he's a believer. But at first I just thought it was just electronic toy bullshit. You know what I mean? People buying into superstitious nonsense.
Yeah.
But the thought is that ghosts are actually, for me, coming from the Christian POV, Christian point of view, is that they would be demonic entities and then can therefore access information.
The technologies that we have, they can have access to also to fool us. Yeah.
And that's how I would rationally explain that. Explain that, and then, so that's my summary of ghosts. That's my long answer to my thoughts on ghosts. That's honestly what I believe. I think all ghosts are demonic entities. I have never seen one with my own eyes, or experienced.
But do you believe they exist?
Demons?
Yeah,
I believe that demons. Like, when everyone is referring to a ghost, for me, rationally, what they're referring to is some sort of demonic entity. Now, here's the thing. Get this. Further, we went to the show for the show. I don't know if you guys are aware at Hollywood.
The movies. Hollywood Forever.
Griffith Observatory. Griffith Park. There is a ghost table 39. Have you heard of this?
It's a couple lovers, a tree fell on them and they died there. And supposedly it's haunted.
We went specifically to that fucking location to shoot this episode of this show. Cause the guy's like, dude, we're going to go to the park.
We were going to do an episode there about ghosts. Yeah. Go on.
Oh, is that right?
How did that go?
Oh, interesting. So I went there and because literally that table was knocked over by a tree by apparently two people getting it on Halloween night. It's unknown if they were like having sex or kissing or whatever. Anyway, the tree, whatever they were doing alone out there at Griffith Park, tree fell on them, killed them. Then when two passes of this. First worker comes through, goes to remove the tree, but I guess he reported, I think that the tree was shaking. And then, so he left and was like, I want nothing to do with this. Then
he was cutting down the tree that fell to clean it up.
Yeah.
And, had an experience there that made him stop doing it. Yeah. Yeah.
And then his boss was like, you know, again, like, this is ghost bullshit. Like, what are you talking about? Goes out there. This is all my hyperbole version of the story, but he goes out there. And you can go when we're there at the tree, you can see one of the limbs was sawed off. And that tree still is like, the table's just there, smashed. It's just, you just visit it. It's very, very broken down. But I guess his boss came, and then I think his boss died. Is that right? Like, his boss, his chainsaw was broken, and then his car was left from like down the road from the spot of the tree with the truck on. And then something about like written in the window was, don't come here again or something, or next time.
No.
It was the first guy, his window fogged up. And then it says, if you, next time you come back and you die or something. Basically it's like, if you return, you will die. I can't remember the words that were said. Anyway, we went and we shot there specifically at that location. Cause for me, I'm like, dude, if ghosts are fucking real, I'm going to come here and see fucking ghosts. Like, I want to see this shit with my, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, you know, negate ghosts, but, I've yet to see one. And the only thing I can say is, when I first showed up to this, we shot a whole scene here where the guys like visit, and they act like they're trying to lift the tree and the tree was supposed to shake. Nothing supernatural happened. Other than, I would say, when I first got there, there was a small moment for me. a small moment of lightheadedness, about 10 seconds. That's it. I didn't hear any fucking voices, see anything. And I don't hear, I will say this as well. I don't know if it's my own mind fucking with me, being like, whoa, there's a lot of hubbub at this place.
Yeah.
And like your own nervous system kind of fucks with you a little bit. And then like, that's what the lightheadedness was. I just know that I was lightheaded for like maybe 10 seconds. And then we just proceeded forward. And it's just lightheadedness. It's not like tree shaking, nothing. I'll say this. One of the legs of our tripod kind of like boom came off, and we had, and the battery, one of the batteries kind of died. So there was like some weird like malfunction stuff, but it's not like nothing that's like, this is really real. Like nothing like super. Like I think what's valuable when it comes to like proving shit is being able to do something and then repeat that thing. Meaning like if I like what they
do. That's the whole science part of having a story.
Yeah. Poltergeist, where they throw the ball through portal and it, you know, point A, point B, and they do like two different things. And it's like, cause you need to be able to repeat a thing. For me, that's just what happened to me. And, we didn't pull out any EVPs or whatever, but, that was just my experience. That is my long tirade on ghosts. I apologize, guys.
Okay. No. Question number three, Bigfoot.
No. what's weird is that like I went up and I was in Northern California, which is theoretically where they had like a sighting for it. Didn't they debunk that as well anyway? Didn't the guy come out and say like, oh dude, it was all just a fucking joke?
There was a guy who claimed that he was in the suit.
Yeah, oh, but okay. That's the whole thing about debunking too, is as soon as somebody has a story, it's easy for everyone to go, see, they debunked him. Like, well, that guy, you can't prove that he had any proof either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, like what's... That's true. Like,
go on.
Yeah. Cause I've never seen Bigfoot, but I did go up to Northern California and there was a guy that claimed that he saw him that I met. Uh-huh. And like, that was interesting. Cause I guess between California and Oregon, there was supposed to be like a Jefferson type state area for a while. But, and that's sort of the region with which, Sasquatch or Bigfoot, you know, was seen, and then you can, and where he that creature resides. I just think it's all just myth.
All right, question four. What about psychics?
Okay, so that's very interesting. So it's just my thoughts on psychics.
Yeah, I mean, I used to say, do you believe in psychics? I'm just getting more like open-ended about the question, just to see, because, you know, then people would ask, well, what do you mean by psychic and stuff? So just like, what are your thoughts on psychics?
Okay. I got some interesting thoughts on more thoughts on psychics. Psychics, I feel like if any psychic is, able to accurately like know things like relatives' names, whatever, any of that information, again, also harkens back to the demonic realm.
Mm-hmm. So you think they're evil?
Well, so they access that information from demonic entities.
Like, how far do you go? What do you think of Harry Potter?
Like,
like, would you read your kids Harry Potter?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, yeah. Harry Potter is like, for me, in fact, if you want to get real additionally fucking weird, for me, it's like, basically like Hero's Journey is basically...
It's the monomyth. He's Jesus.
Okay. All right. Wait. All right. And I'm on the same page with that. So it's like, when you're spinning the story circle, it's like spinning the Jesus wheel. But I'm not... fucking weirdo Christian that's like, no, dude, you can't watch Lord of the Rings, dude. That has that evil witchcraft shit in it. It's like, if you think demons are fucking, just because you're, it's like, just like, just because demons are real doesn't mean, like, is the Bible satanic because it has the mention of demons in it? It's like,
yeah,
it's like, no, yeah. You know what I mean?
If you watch Lord of the Rings, are you going to become a demon somehow or something?
Yeah, like, yeah, no.
I've never understood the whole, like, the Christian thing about, like, that's like the dark arts, that's black magic. But it's like, it's not an instruction manual, it's fiction. You know what I mean? Like, so what is your issue here?
And to add to that, it's like I always used to kind of get basically told not to question things, and I'm like, but questioning something is kind of how you can strengthen someone's belief if you have answers.
And believe it or not,
so don't tell me to stop questioning. Like, have answers.
There is like a passage of scripture that basically like supports the philosophy of like what you just said. Like in 1 Peter. But anyway, not to get like back to psychics. The additional thing, have you guys, in fact, Willie, I asked you about this, but there is something called psychic magic. And honestly, I think that is a huge portion of what psychics actually use. And it's just like basically the Barnum and Bailey, where it's like you can ask questions that then almost narrows a person down. There's a British psychic magician. And in fact, he even has some Netflix specials where he basically gets a guy. I can't remember this British guy's name, but he performs psychic magic and it's very impressive.
This is, I think I know what you're talking about. I mean, generally you're talking about cold reading. I think specifically you're talking about the guy, what was it called? The Push or something like that?
Yes.
Where like he convinced just random people to push someone off of a ledge.
Dude,
great. It's great.
Dude, he goes through the details of, he doesn't, it's not, I will say this, it's not solid school because apparently within the magic realm, people that, you know, perform magic, it's like you don't want to unveil the full extent of your secrets. But even him as a psychic magic, he's very clear when he's like, hey, this is not real magic. It's like if you follow us, you know, if my skill set, you can achieve this thing. Meaning,
right. Yeah, didn't he have somebody like shoot somebody, but they gave him a blank gun? Like he convinced someone to like assassinate someone without them knowing.
No. It was to have a guy take a bullet for a guy. So he had a guy be a receiver of the bullet. Because in that specific guy, so to have the extreme, that guy was like, dude, let's get rid of these Mexicans out of this country, man. And then he turned that guy at the outset, because this is a different documentary than The Push. To go from being that sort of person to a person that would take a bullet for a Hispanic person. And that's that other documentary. And he does it all through his
why is it specifically a Hispanic person?
Well, just it's just in
look, I can get you to take a bullet, but not only that, I can get you to take a bullet for a Hispanic person.
Well, it's because that guy had hatred towards them.
Right, just some bigot.
Yeah. Well, and
I looked it up. This guy's name is Darren Brown. He's come up a lot on here, and I should remember this, but it's spelled weird. Too. It's Derren Brown. So if you want to look up his docs, they're pretty fucking intriguing.
They're great.
Yeah, dude, it is great. Because here's what's so weird for me. I'm like, and in fact, so additional thing with keeping with the psychic topic, it's very in this day and age, there's like the lowest form of communication, which is text, and then above that I would say is audio, which is what we're doing here, and then above that is audio and video, which is what we're doing here over Zoom. But there is a fourth sort of like layer of communication, and it's called mirror neurons, which is like when you can see someone else's face, something about like you emit like a type of, you communicate just extra things in person. that
could be brainwaves, pheromones, like just all the extra stuff.
And you can get it to where you like sense it. And this is all within the psychic realm. And I'm sure like psychic magic, it's all about the, because in fact, I will say Darren Brown says that like if he was to try to do some of his magic shit, his psychic magic over Zoom, it renders him powerless. Like the mirror neurons, is like a huge component of that. And then I like a lot of psychics, like if you go to a psychic tarot card reader, you know, I'm sure they have like that plus, sort of the mirror neurons as well. And just the execution of psychic magic, which is, it's just a skill.
There's also like, just the psychology of like people wanting to please other people. And like, that's a big thing with like kids studies is like the kids just want to, this is why like cops interrogating people is fucked up because like eventually the interrogatee gets to a point where it's just like, I just want to tell you what you want. And they just get a lot of false confessions by doing that stuff. Yeah. 2016, Pushed to the Edge was the one where he convinces people to push a stranger off of a ledge. And then 2018, Sacrifice is the one where someone takes a bullet.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Like, and his presentations are great. And like, those were kind of interestingly illuminating for me. Because I'm like, well, can you psychic, like, hey, can I psychic magic my way into a Hollywood fucking deal? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
You know, or can I psychic magic my way into a date, into someone's vagina?
Yeah.
I nailed her with psychic magic just to get real.
Isn't that sort of what those pickup artists guys do? Like they kind of use like psychology to fucking.
Uh-huh. Totally.
Some truth to that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Question 5. Are you superstitious?
I think we all are. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. Okay. So I'll just answer. I would like myself to be perceived as someone that's not, but that is totally unrealistic. The reason why everyone is superstitious is because as human beings, we have finite knowledge. And since we don't know everything, your mind has to fill in gaps. Like right now, I can't see my car, but I'm assuming it's not on fire, but it could be on fire. But my mind is filling the, you know, it's the whole thing where it's like someone pulls the chair out from under you. You go to take a seat. You think the seat's there, but your buddy or your brother like pulled the chair out from under you and then it's not there, but you thought it was there. And the same thing with, and in fact, it's to your, to kind of circle this question with the other question. When I talked about the lightheadedness, I don't know if that was me, my nervous system being superstitious or if it was not, but I would like to say that I adopt what's called scout mentality, which is like, if something's real, it's real. Meaning, to even circle back to the aliens thing, you show me an alien and I'm talking to, and I'm looking at touching a fucking alien, I believe in aliens. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if right. we can get like a repeat, here's alien A, here's alien B, or here's alien A, he's leaving, the alien A comes back, here he is, you know, whatever. If you show it to me, I have to reacclimate, because the reality is the human mind is always has to do that no matter what. Because I would say this psychic magic stuff, I didn't know anything about. That's a new thing that I learned about since I last talked to you guys. And so now it's what needs to happen. Instead of me being like, no, fucking aliens and psychic magic is not real. It's like you have to do what's called abductive reasoning, which is like readjust based off of the information that you already know. So,
but I'm not superstitious at all.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, let's get into the topic. Like, I'm not superstitious at all.
but your superstition is in debunking superstitions, though. Like, you purposefully walk under ladders because you're anti-superstitious, which makes you superstitious in a way. You know what I mean?
No, but my thing is, like, I do that to be funny because I don't believe in it. It's not to prove that it's not real. It's to for other people, for them to watch, and then you're like, oh, well, maybe it's not real. You know, it's not like, I'm not trying to anti. I'm just, I believe in the power of the mind, but I think superstitions are just anxieties.
Well, Clayton, you are like probably a one on the WoW scale, so you're more of a Wade.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the world's first living robots can now reproduce, scientists say. They call them Xenobots. How does that affect the rest of the world in your mind? You know, like, let's talk about it tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Now, what is the actual literal, how do they actually reproduce, or how are they, I saw this headline, I did not read it.
So the thing is, the weird thing about microbiology is, for a long time, all of the research was done with dead cells, because you can take a dead cell and you can learn a lot from it. So, and to do any research with live cells is, you know, it's just like, it's not that anybody's against it. It's just not how that science went. And so now what they've done is they've taken the stem cells from frogs, these frogs that can regenerate limbs. They took these regenerative cells and they call them Xenobots. They basically just took these cells and like isolated them, and these things reproduce now. So it's kind of like, I don't think that they made them in any way. They just isolated them. They're not used to working with live.
Yeah, what are they talking about? How's this a robot? What is the definition of a robot? Because everything I'm seeing is like, it's clearly, here's the quote. In a way, it's a robot, but it's also clearly an organism made from genetically unmodified frog cells. So how is that a robot? Is it because it's artificial intelligence? They say with the help of artificial intelligence, the researchers tested billions of body shapes to make the Xenobots more effective at this type of replication.
Right. Let me just read the definition of robot just to have it.
Oh, you know what I think it is? I think it's like a supercomputer is giving these cells more instructions or something. And then that's helping them sort of like replicate.
They didn't instruct this thing to replicate, right? It just started doing that on its own. All the robot definitions I'm getting are like cyborgs. I'm like, what are you talking about? Let's look at the Merriam-Webster.
Well, who really cares? I mean, yeah, I don't understand. Frogs can grow new limbs or whatever. So wouldn't their cells be able to replicate? Like, how is this?
Well, the thing is when you break it down by itself, it shouldn't want to do that. I don't know. One of the biggest advances that they've had recently in microbiology and studying these frog cells is now that they've gotten into the world of studying alive things, they found that, you know, when they mess with genes and DNA and stuff, it's like, You can't make brain cells change into eyeball cells, you know, because as they're building, that's they are what they are. But what they've discovered is in the earlier stages, before before these cells have decided what they are. There's an electrical signal or an electrical map that's made that tells a cell what it's supposed to be. And so if they mess with things at that stage, you can grow an eyeball in a belly. You can, and but you do that from the electrical signal before it's a cell. So just the crazy thing about this topic, here we are talking about xenobots and like, sure, this thing's replicating, whatever that means, we'll get into what we think about it, but now they're seeing that the tiny electrical signal that happens before it's a cell, can, that's where you modify things. So the future of this, I don't know if you call it technology or science, is about to turn the world on its head, I think. Because using stem cells and stuff, now we can, I know that they can kind of grow things before, but now they can really grow anything they want if they can figure out what the electrical signal is that identifies what you want it to be. So just saying, like, now we can grow artificial hearts and all kinds of stuff because we, I know it's not that simple, but we're, that's the direction we're going.
Yeah. This is just wild and impressive. Even these videos that I'm seeing here, they have the frog cells pushing other frogs, a swarm of frogs cells parents push frog cells into piles. So it's like a bigger cell is able to push other, programmed to be able to push other smaller cells into piles. And that in and of itself is like really powerful and impressive.
Well, it's weird because the first thing that it's easy to get into when you, anything in this topic with these headlines is, oh shit, the robot takeover. Oh shit, AI. Like, but it's weird because anytime I start to think that we, like, I believe our experience is closer to a simulation. That doesn't mean that we're in one, but if we were to ever make a simulation, like, we would want it to be like our experience as much as we could. And, you know, and it makes me go like, well, if our life was a simulation and that was controlled, what would be the purpose of making one? And I'm like, okay, well, it's just interactions and disease, you know, like I look at things like, the crazy things that flourish on Earth are bacteria, viruses, you know, parasites. And that would, to me, if there's life all over the universe, those things are going to flourish more than intelligent life. And so did we just create something that is going to, like, live forever, you know?
Well, but isn't that part of, like, why we're doing this, to sort of, like, combat those viruses? Like, if we can learn how a cancer cell replicates, and then we can apply that to, like, a white blood cell that would attack a cancer cell, or however the body works. I'm a fucking moron. Yeah. I don't know. But, like, yeah. isn't that what we're saying? Like, you just said, like, yeah, we're on the road to, like, making artificial organic hearts and stuff like that. I think, yeah, the headlines are like, they're just like attention grabbers. Like, oh, look at this robot that can replicate itself. And then you go two lines into the article and it's like, oh, it's just, it's a living cell that's been, like, I don't even know if manipulated is the right way, but like a supercomputer is like instructing these things. So, I mean, to me, it all sounds great. Like, I'm not like, yeah. And also, when it comes to, like, the robot takeover, I just, like, just make them the most efficient killing machines in the world so that I don't even stand a chance, so that when they show up, I'm just like, okay, bullet to the head. like, let's get it over with. I'm not going to do this thing where I'm like running from robots, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the best thing going for us is that AI also doesn't have morality, you know? So, like, we keep demonizing these things that can't be demonized. You know, it's like, as proof that, like, it's human fear.
Yeah, I don't know if we're, I don't know if demonizing is the right word. I think we're just, like, cautiously paranoid, you know? Like, just because of Asimov and all of his fucking stories, we're like, oh, shit, like, we can't trust these things because ultimately they're going to fucking kill us. That seems like a very sort of like simple way to look at this stuff. Like what would these robots have? Why, the whole thing about robots killing humans was to save humans. Like if we're talking about Asimov, which you kind of have to, if we're talking about the robot takeover, like that whole thing was, oh, the robot figured out that to save humans from themselves, they would have to kill all the humans. And that's an insane, there's no computer that's going to do that, right? Like, that's insane. So we're by being afraid of like robot takeovers and AI, it's like we're children listening to fairy tales.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, 100%.
Because none of it is like that. The guy wrote it. When was Asimov alive? He was like the 40s or something, or was it before that? It was so long ago that it's just like,
right. He's up there with Aristotle in most people's heads. It's just an old guy that was involved in science.
He's just a fiction writer. I mean, it's like that's like thinking that Star Trek is like prescient, right? Like that, like,
yeah,
if we go far enough, all this stuff is going to come true. And it's like, no, it's just sci-fi writers like having fun, you know?
Yeah. And you're going to push the limits of things that exist because that's what makes it compelling for people that.
Yeah. If you didn't have, I mean, it's conflict, right? You got to have conflict or your story sucks and no one's going to ever remember it.
Yeah. So it needs to, you know, needs to be tragic or whatever. Like no one wants to, I mean, I don't know. I guess are there the anti-Asimov artificial intelligence stories? Is Short Circuit one of those where it's like, oh, we need to keep the robot alive?
Because he's like special, I guess. And he stops the robots because they're all like, they go crazy and they're trying to kill us. And then he's, Johnny Five is like, no, don't.
Well, that's the biggest question of that movie is like, do you assume, like, what is the definition of, I guess I would just use the word consciousness because that's what we play with, right? Like, sure, the definition of something being alive is always going to be different, you know, like people don't treat trees as alive or even rocks, you know. I know that's a different play, but this thing is, this Xenobot is alive and it's replicating, and so it's like it's in a different realm,
and it sounds like it's programmable, like you can get repeat results out of it, which is outstanding. Like if you can although to Wade's point, whatever this technology is in its early stages, because one of the scientists is saying we've had like mixed results or undesired. What did he say? Not the best design. No, sorry. I'm trying to, I read it. It turns out to be pretty good for collecting piles of things. And even that in and of itself is outstanding, because if it can collect cancer cells and then, I don't know, push cancer cells out your ass, that's great.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Actually, going back to the definition of robots, there's actually a quote in this article I'm looking at that that kind of sums it up. Most people think of robots as made of metals and ceramics, but it's not so much what a robot is made from, but what it does, which is act on its own on behalf of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And in that way, it's a robot, but it's also clearly an organism made from genetically unmodified frog cell. So, yeah. So to them, a robot is just a sort of non-sentient thing that is acting on behalf of humans. So it's still a little weird, but like, I mean, this is great. Like, I guess like what I would be afraid of is real murder robots that can like make more murder robots, right? Like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, I've brought this up before, but I always watch Crazy Russian videos, and they have this robot, and this guy is like knocking it on the ground, and it's like still trying to shoot the target, and the guy is like fucking plowing into it, and it's like and it keeps shooting the target, and it's just like, oh my gosh, dude, like sooner or later it's going to realize that you're pushing it down.
But it won't though, because it's just a bunch of circuit boards and stuff.
Yeah, it's like must complete task.
And then so when does the program start to reprogram itself to fulfill the original program? You know, like, well, I can shoot better if I don't fall down. You know, what's
that's right.
Me
and
fall
that
down?
Is something that was like mentioned even within this article, where it was like robots that could repair other defective robots, I think was like cited. So it's like whatever these cells are, like they could then, if one becomes damaged, others can come to its aid and fix it, which, you know, allowing it to sustain itself and be almost like invincible, which is like really, but again, it seemed like it was just theoretical. It didn't say that it was at the place with which it could do it. It just referenced some other robots that did it. And I think that experiment was unsuccessful, if I recall from reading this article.
Yeah, I just, man, I don't know. It's kind of like we would have to lose so much control for the robots to just be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to like make robots now. I just the way that programming is, like, I'm not a programmer. I've never even really seen code. I don't know what it looks like, but I know that people who write code would be like, if there's one little semicolon wrong or something,
yes,
none of it works.
Yes.
And yeah. So how are these things getting to a point where they're like writing their own code and then like evolving? You know what I mean?
You know, I mentioned earlier about the electrical signal that kind of defines what a cell is going to be. And it's just like, you know, I do compare us to being a biological computer, you know? And so it's like life on Earth has found a way to survive in every way that it can. And we've seen, traits and other animals go on to other animals, and sure, there's lineage there, but at some point life is trying to survive. And if life is electrical signals, like when I mean, it's nothing to be afraid of because that's just what's happening, but like you evolution onto these things seems more plausible than computer programs going haywire. So if this is a biological thing, and so at some point it's going to make the jump to survive, you know, like you picture all of the cells that we're made up of, somehow they clump together because it was more beneficial to clump together for their survival. So not to say that we're having a hand in it, but like life is still evolving. And so it's weird to think that we're not at the end of the evolutionary chain of life
when it's all come together to make cells to then build us up. I mean, like, what the fuck? I mean, sorry, I don't have, really have a question, but...
Well, if these things start, you know, getting out of hand, you can just step on them. You just take the Petri dish and step on it.
That's really funny. Because, like, you know, what didn't exist during Asimov and all of his science fiction writing was the EMP. So, you know, with AI and robots, we can just EMP them and that's it.
Yeah, but that's the Matrix, right? Because, like, we don't know... We know that we scorched the sky or whatever, whatever that quote is.
Yeah.
Like, that's them thinking that they can stop these robots with an EMP, right? And then they couldn't. I don't remember the Matrix that well, but I'm pretty sure that's what they're talking about.
Are you guys excited for that movie?
I mean, I want to be. I know. Just culturally, a culturally relevant version of that would be great. In my mind, I have an idea of what the idea should be, but I don't know I haven't seen the trailer. I have no concept of what it's going to be. But if it is, because in the first Matrix, what was interesting is like, hey guys, we're in a simulation. Hey, see that black cat over there? Because they have, you know, have to have that expositional tutorial phase of movie. Wait, you saw a glitch with that black cat over there? Oh, fuck. They must be sending Agent Smith's, you know, which theoretically would be programmed cells to wipe them out in the Matrix or whatever. Everyone has a frame of reference in the Matrix. Like, we're all in the same simulation. And we can see that the cat is glitching out. And so therefore we all know, even within the Matrix, within the same Matrix, what's going on. What I think is culturally relevant is everyone now, if they were to, what I think they should do for Matrix 4 is have everyone have their own individual customized Matrix. To where it's like, hey, this cat is glitching over here. And then someone else is like, what cat? Like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah, that adds to what you were saying earlier about how, you know, like, everyone's beliefs are very personal. Like, everyone's level of their on everything that they believe in, their personal wow scale for every belief is like, no two people could believe every, like, the same thing, because
it's all personal. Interesting, Clayton, about your idea is the Matrix is definitely not doing that, and you should probably like develop it a little, because what it made me think of is like when you're playing a video game and you leave an NPC, that NPC like stops existing, right? And so like if we all were in our own different simulations, I think the conflict would be like, who's the NPC here? You know, like, how do I know that you're not disappearing when you're not directly in front of me, when I'm not interacting with you?
Oh,
well, that's what that was my biggest fear growing up, was thinking about the afterlife, going like, my hope was that we're all connected in the afterlife. My fear was that whatever your brain taught itself to be the afterlife, that's what it was going to be. And it actually doesn't connect to anybody. And you live forever as an electrical signal based on what you believe.
Wow. Under that rationale, believe good and awesome shit.
That's why I don't understand Christianity, because it's like, not to put you on the spot or anything, but it's like,
that's fine. Do it.
It's like, and I don't even know what's real and what's not, but I do know that there's an idea of hell and an idea of heaven. And like, why would you ever introduce this idea of hell? Like, why wouldn't you just say that there's a heaven? Because nobody really wants to kill anyone who's not a psychopath, right? Like, that's not an instinct that people have, normal people. They don't just want to kill. So the whole, I don't know, the whole Ten Commandments and and you have to be good. It's like Santa Claus is watching you all the time and stuff. And it's also, this is, I'm sorry, I'm piling on, but like, it almost seems like a way to live your life that's like wasting your life, because you're trying to get to this next sort of like thing rather than just like, hey, live right now, live your life right now. I read a little Buddhism, and so like that's where I'm getting that from, which is just like, oh, be content wherever you are, like do all this stuff, like just try to be Zen and you know, enlightened, which is impossible, and that's the whole point. But it's all about like living life as opposed to like living a weird fake life so that you can go to this other place where like you're like conning your way in by like following these commandments. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. That's right. Just, cause it's like, I don't know, I guess for me, there's one thing that you cited that I want to, kind of hit on, because you said, in fact, you kind of said a lot, like
I said too much. I'm sorry. I was kind of spiraling.
Five or six ideas, which is great. But I guess one that we can talk about is if we are all experiencing this same thing in our simulations, which is because you were talking about, you said by default, people don't want to murder. And that's it, like the 10 commandments. Cause like, I don't even know the full 10. All I know is like in the New Testament, Jesus condenses it down into two. But I know of the 10, there are, thou shalt not lie. See, they're all the knots, and its rules are fucking obnoxious. So I could see a lot of people getting annoyed with God rulage. You know what I mean? Being told, no one likes to be told what to do, but thou shalt not lie. I don't know if cheating is one of them, and then stealing. But the reality is, I think, have you ever met anybody that's not okay with those three? Those aren't murder, by the way. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments is that thou shalt
one, yeah.
That thou shalt not kill, for sure. And then thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's right. The first one is like, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in fact, he goes, Jesus, when he condenses the 10, he goes, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. It's like if you do those two, everything else is going to fucking work out. And so it's like, but lying, cheating, and stealing, and like this idea that you were talking about, the default idea of not everybody likes to murder. I do feel this is, and I want to argue this, that by default, we, I guess are like negatively programmed or like we are born imperfect and need work.
Yeah.
That's very broad. I'll say this. Have you guys lied, cheated, and stolen?
Yeah.
So you've done those three. You haven't murdered people, but you've done those things. And in fact, does anybody here think that lying, cheating, and stealing is okay?
I mean, it's subjective, right? It's very subjective. My whole thing is I don't want to do stuff that hurts other people. And so if I lie about, being sick so that I don't have to go to a party because I'm 42 and lazy, I don't really think that hurts anybody. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And I don't mind stealing from a company that I think all of their success is from stealing. You know, stealing the wages of people by not paying them enough to even work there. You know, like Amazon. Like, I'm gonna do everything I can to steal from them. Every chance I get, I'm fine with it. I buy stuff, you know, like I know that you're on a list, and as soon as you report too many things stolen or too many things not delivered to you, then like you can't claim that anymore. But I'm like, I mean, that's true. So don't do too many things, but fuck them.
Well, I guess to my point, have you ever done one of those things and like you like wish you hadn't? Is there a lie that you told you're like, oh man, I basically have you offended your own conscience is what that boils down to.
Right. Yeah. Everyone knows, right?
Right. So, and so in our simulation, that is like a steadfast thing that everyone can like relate with, which is that is a, at least a frame of reference. And so you wonder or you imagine it's like, is there a simulation where it's like that can like, is there in the future or is there a way for me moving forward? You know, can I program these cells or whatever, you know, to where it's like, I don't do things that offend me. Like, you know what I mean? Cause even, it's weird. Even the humans themselves, we talked about like psychic magic and I'm going to therapy. It's like you program yourself. You try to like program out bad things that you don't want to do and then maintain good things that you do like to do. Even like to your point with the Buddhist stuff of being here now, being present and being content, that's all very valuable and good things. You know, can you program contentment? You know,
right.
Like that'd be amazing. It's like through like these cells, can I program bad things out of me? Like synapses that fire that maybe cause me to like steal or whatever things that are, I find undesirable. Can I, like,
I mean, here's the thing, getting older, I feel like your body is sort of doing that naturally because like, I don't know, you just adapt in a weird way where like, I'm calmer now than I used to be. I'm not like as opinionated as I used to be. I don't think that I'm as smart as I used to think that I was. You know what I mean? It's like I've gotten, I guess, humble for lack of a better word, by getting older. And so I would say that that's kind of like what you're saying, right? Like you're programming out these like behaviors that aren't appealing.
You know, to comment on this line of conversation. I grew up in the church and I grew up loving math and I love fractals. And I always tried to picture existence as a fractal or microcosms of just life in the universe. And I always questioned if, you know, how complicated all of our cells are that run within our body. Like, am I a cell for the body of humanity? And is my experience fractal worth where everything I experience actually is repeated on the bigger and smaller scale? And, you know, obviously these are things that like you personify your experience, but like when you see things happening on the big and small scale, it makes you like, man, this, my experience has to be a part of the experience of the universe in some way. And so to me, consciousness, I know that's a weirdly changely defined thing, but like, I feel like my experience is being, not to make myself important, because I think all of our experiences are a part of some bigger whole, but like in the same way that a cell works for a body. And it makes me, just blows my mind thinking of what that is.
Yeah. It's a weird paradox, because it's like being part of the, you know, like we're talking about as being part of the human race. So you're one thing, but you're also multiple things. Like you're an individual, but you're also a group. What's interesting here so is
you're
programming
stealing effect. Sorry, go on.
You're programming an entire group. Sorry. I'm always like trying to like make everything have like a little bit of relevance to like the topic, but yeah. Is your stealing affecting the entire entity of humanity? And I would say, yeah, right. Like you steal from someone, someone's stolen from, you know, you steal a piece of candy, like they were hoping for that piece of candy, or who knows like what the ramifications are. Like, I mean, there could be like next to zero ramifications other than you stole it and you should not.
Let me ask you guys this, through all of your experiences in life, Do you feel like the emotions that you have any effect on the universe?
No.
Like in practical, just being very practically speaking, it's like I get angry and I break something with my fist, and that affects the universe because now something is broken from my anger.
Because go on.
Just the flip side of that, like a joyous occasion, I do something and something good happens in the universe. But yes, go ahead.
Because I've always heard that there's these race of aliens that don't have emotions, and emotions have been bred out of them. And I've always just been like, well, if intelligence loses emotions, like what is the point of emotions? And it makes me, when you add that to a simulation, it's like, I feel like you wouldn't, if you were to make a simulation, you would take emotions out of it because that's the thing that fucks everything up. It's the one variable that, we don't have simulations that have emotions in them because we can't program them.
Yeah. Because if you program these robots, these celled robots, and then one of them's like, you know what? I'm not going to push cancer cells out Susie's ass. Fuck you. I'm a programmed cell that's going to do my own thing. I'm fed up with this doing all these orders and tasks. What's interesting about, I feel like that narrative is that's always the, now it's like that programmed entity is now its own life force because it has become an individual that's going to break away from the group and do its own individual thing.
Yeah. But it's like, what, something had to happen for that to change, right?
Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's the effect as opposed to, and I totally dismissed the cause. Like, well, what caused that to happen? Right.
Right.
Yep. Skipped right over that.
Well, we got to wrap it up, but I don't know. It's always fun to talk about consciousness and stuff like that, and I don't know. Like, these are not robots. They're living cells. I guess we can call them robots based on the definition that they're acting on behalf of us. And that just means free heart transplants for everyone. And
dude, stem cells. The crazy thing about stem cells, my only thing I have to say about this is they're showing that they are capable of helping humanity in every way possible. It's just sad that these pharmaceutical companies are going to own that, like this is something that we should all. So going into the future, I'm like, anything you can think of seems to be possible. Don't let them own that. They have a price for a heart transplant. It's not going to change just because they can make it for free.
Oh, interesting. I mean, well, no, you're right. But like, somebody invented the toilet and you don't have a hard time getting a toilet. You know what I mean? Like plumbing was a big idea.
Yeah.
And it worked for the betterment of everyone. And it wasn't held up by, copyrights.
Yeah. That kind of like what you're talking about is like the business framework. Like it's sort of a cultural thing. It's like we have to buy and sell. What happens when that gets taken away? It's like jobs. What's it? Matt Hill and like Dave Seeger did that Channel 101 show, Binary 46, where you have like the program robots that deliver food. Have you guys seen those?
The drone guys?
Yeah. I've seen them all around town here in Hollywood.
Oh, really? I have not seen one.
It's crazy. It's so weird because it's on a delivery and it literally looks like fucking Short Circuit.
Yeah.
With a few more lights. And it's delivering.
I've seen him in Santa Monica and I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what?
But it's like, that's someone's job. Instead of someone like, hey man, I'm going to hop in my car and get someone their food. It's like a robot is doing that for someone. And so then now it's like, well, I guess I'm out of a job. I guess I, you know, and so now what? And then, so what's his name came up with the governmental system where it's like, all right, the government, just these businesses that created these robots that took your job have to allot certain amounts of money. So you can just sit on your ass on the couch and just get paid from those companies. Right. Just kind of, which is very interesting formula. And I'm trying to like have all this, come together, but what to your guys's to Willie's point, it's like, if we don't have the need to buy and sell shit, there's the monetary aspect culturally gets taken away, and then you're not out of a job because you don't need money to buy things in the, you know, it's the whole Burning Man thing. But anyway, these cells, I'm gonna, just for my summary, me as a Christian guy, I'm all for these cells. If they can work, get it to work. I'm totally supportive of this research. Go for it. It's just, it sounds like it's just in its infancy stages and just needs to be sort of fleshed out. But if you can prove that, like, yeah, with this technology, these program robots, we've like dialed it in and we can get rid of cancer or whatever, or replace your stem cells or allow you to grow an arm back. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just, you gotta, yeah. And my, so the ethics for me, like, I'm totally for it, but then it comes into, to Willie's point, but then it's like, well, how much does that cost? And then who gets it and why? And
yeah, my only fear is that the business of now supports, well,
whatever.
Business.
I mean, that's all, all the innovations are going to be expensive in the beginning, and then they're going to go down. I mean, LASIK was unattainable fucking 30 years ago, and now it's like everybody can get it.
That's a good reference.
Eye surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
The laser eye surgery. I remember when that came out, it was like, oh, well, I could never afford that. And now it's just like $2,000 or whatever. Not everybody can afford that, but that's like nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Clayton, anything to plug? Do you want to steer our audience in any direction?
Unfortunately, well, just like, I don't know, I guess like look for me to create some stuff for channel 101 is like, it's just for the short term. I've got nothing like bigger than that I can speak of, but I should. I am programming myself currently through Atomic Habits to like plan for those bigger things.
Do you want to throw out your Twitter or Insta so that people can follow along on your journey?
Oh shoot. You know what? And I was doing like a daily post on my Instagram, but I stopped because I felt like those smaller creative things were taking away from bigger things, and I'm onto the bigger things. So it's like, you know what? I would just say just my Phoenix Films website.
Okay. Phoenix Films, just like it sounds.
Yeah. Phoenix Films with a Z instead of an S at the end .com. Okay. And then I'll plug that.
Cool. Well, thanks for being here. We'll get you on the live show when we do that. And then you can give Phoenix Films to a lot more people. Willie, do you want to do any plugs or should we wrap it up?
I will just say, go to our Patreon. We've got different tiers of stuff. We do two extra episodes a week, and I don't know. Have fun with us. Support us.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Bye.